Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And joining us from Harvell & Collins is Andrew Foster. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. Doing well.
All right. What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, today we've got a when does it pay off to procrastinate situation.
Okay. All right. I'm all in favor of this one.
I know. You may like this one.
Yeah.
At the end of last year, normally one of our shows in December is always talking about, what's Congress going to do with these tax extender.
Oh yeah, that's
bills.
Right.
So normally we're thinking, okay, we're at the end of the year now. They're gonna have to do something to clarify the situation before tax filing season starts. And normally, I can report either something gets done before the end of the year, or we know, kind of first week of January when they get back in session,
right?
They're gonna pass something, and we're gonna have clarification.
Maybe retroactive,
correct?
Or not.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, make it retroactive to the first of the year. And they're going to have something in place by the time tax filing season starts. So we know that, we know what the rules are when tax filing season begins.
All right.
All right. Now flash forward to flashback to last December. And we were talking about what?
The new tax bill. Yeah.
The new tax bill. And so the new tax bill, which would actually take place, starting in 2018 and moving forward, we really weren't focused on 2017 taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's time to file those 2017 taxes. And, we kind of thought that those tax extenders, since they didn't do anything with them last year, didn't take them up, in the first couple weeks of January, that those just went by the wayside and were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, we have government shutdowns and budget bills that have been passed. And on February 9th, we actually had a budget bill which kept the government open through March 23rd of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And tucked away in that budget bill, guess what was in there, Ben?
What?
Tax extenders.
Tax extenders, really?
Tax extenders were in there. And so, therefore, there was several that I wanted to bring to our listeners' attention regarding, what tax extenders were actually included in this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, here we are, February 9th, budget bill being passed, tax extenders tucked in there. But guess what, Ben? Tax filing season actually started on January 29th.
Yeah. Yes, that's
so
right.
If you are one of these individuals who, I'll go over what the tax extenders were.
Mm-hmm.
If they apply to you and you've actually filed, well, then guess what? You're going to have to file an amended return if you want to take advantage of these tax extenders. Now, the good news is what I'll tell you is that most likely, it could affect you. Especially the first one I'm going to talk about, you're probably not going to file unless we got some kind of clarification on the exclusion from gross income of discharge of qualified principal indebtedness. Now that's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what that means is that there was a $1 million exemption, $2 million if you were married. If your principal residence was foreclosed on.
Right.
And you got a 1099-C relative to that transaction. And therefore, we don't want you to get your house, your primary residence foreclosed on and then also hit you with gross income as a result of that canceled indebtedness. And so that has been in place since 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Again, now is in place for 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So in the event that you had a foreclosure of your primary residence last year, you're going to be covered under this new tax extender.
Didn't it go under an acronym of some sort, like TARP, or was that?
That was for some refinancing.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit different situation,
right.
but that's in there. And so, yet again, I would think probably you probably, if you had that, you're looking at a pretty hefty tax bill, more than likely, for that canceled indebtedness. So maybe you did hold off.
File. Yeah, you haven't filed. No, you're not going to pay it before April 15th or 17th.
Exactly. So here's one that I think maybe could affect some of our listeners. especially if you itemize your deductions. And this year, you know, there's going to be a lot of itemizing. Next year, not so much with the new tax bill. But mortgage insurance premiums, treated as qualified residence interest. So, you know, if you had to take out mortgage insurance, and you're paying that as part of your mortgage.
Right.
That's going to be deductible, under this tax extender bill. So again, maybe it was one of those things where you were drawing the line in the sand and saying, oh, I can't take this this year, but you know, oh well, I'm still going to itemize and still going to file. Well, here you go. We now have a tax extender that's been passed that's going to allow mortgage insurance premiums to be deducted in 2017. The last one, well, one of the other major ones was the above the line deduction for qualified tuition and fees related expenses. So again, you're in, secondary education, and this is a deduction, mind you, that you can take, for your tuition and fees. And it's above the line. And that's critical, Ben, because that means that, you know, sometimes students, you know, they're not going to itemize their deductions. They don't maybe have the the necessary items on a Schedule A to better for them to take the standard deduction. But above the line basically means that it doesn't matter if you itemize your deductions or not. If you take the standard deduction, you can take this qualified tuition and fees related expense deduction in addition to the standard deduction. So that's a really good benefit for people who are in continuing with their education. Now, bear in mind, there's some credits out there that we mentioned as a dollar for dollar reduction in your taxes.
Right.
So that might be a better bet for you. But just to let everyone know, the tuition and fees deduction is going to be a part of 2017 return. And the last extenders they filed, which I'm going to have to ask our listeners, they'll have to go and look these up, because it's really has to do with energy credits. And so it really depends. And we've gone through them before a little bit about how, you know, if you bought a certain product that qualifies under the you know, the green energy plan,
I'll just say,
either for your business or your residence, then look into that, especially if maybe if you bought an electric car or an electric bike. Those two I know were passed, but the rest you just need to make sure that you do fall within the guidelines. If you got solar panels or you got something like that, that could be deducted.
The geothermal was a tax credit that was in, that was out, that was in, that was out. You know, so I don't know where that is, where that stands now. But.
And so what's happened, Ben, is that, you know, the service kind of got hit with this kind of blindsided. They did leave some gaps on the forms and said, you know, one of those kind of line to be determined late, you know, later.
Yeah.
So they maybe knew that something could be in the works or could be coming. And they've been able to adjust their processing systems to at least be able to accept the first three that I've gone over right now. So your qualified principal residence indebtedness exception, the mortgage insurance premiums being deductible, and the above the line, deduction for tuition and fees. Those are now in the system. And so if you want to take advantage of those tax extenders when you file your taxes currently, you're able to do so.
Now,
as far as the credits go, the energy credits, those are not in the system yet. So if you're going to take advantage of one of those, then you need to refrain from filing at the moment and hold off until those get put in the processing system.
Now, if you're on that first one, if you had a foreclosure.
Yes.
And so that ended up being settled for something less than the value of the house, right?
Correct,
and that's
yeah.
why you would get a 1099.
Correct.
And so you're going to get one. You are going to get one, though, right? Even though, even if you don't have to report it, or even if you're exempt from it, you got to report it, and then you're exempt up to a certain amount anyway.
Right? Correct. Yeah. So what happens is you use a form that basically says, okay, this is included in gross income, but then we're going to take it out of gross income. I believe it's form 986 or 981, that you would report the, exception to the general rule that canceled indebtedness is actually put into income. So you put it in there and then you say, okay, I'm taking it out due to this rule and use that particular form.
Does a short sale fall under that too?
Yeah, same thing.
So same idea.
Same idea there. Yeah, that you could get a 1099-C for that because the lender's basically having to eat some of the money that they had originally loaned you, and because they originally loaned you that full value of that money, they'll generate a 1099-C so they can take their write-off for that gap and what the property actually sold for. So yeah, that would be that's a big one. I mean, there for a while that was a huge
sure.
one.
Yeah.
Because the foreclosures were more prominent. You know, we've kind of tailed off here lately
mm-hmm.
with regards to that, but still this pops up every once in a while, especially given someone who maybe has an illness or loses a job or something like that, mm-hmm. where they have to kind of get rid of their principal residence and downsize.
There was one thing that came up. This was maybe was partially a state issue, but the one about where you could rent out your house for a week. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, I think they called it like the master's exemption or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that still in play?
Still there, yeah. As long as you can rent out your house for as long as it's less than 14 days
mm-hmm.
in the calendar year, you can rent it out and it's income tax free money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was the one we put in place. We mentioned that specifically.
For Pinehurst.
Years ago, Pinehurst, yeah. And they talked about the big one we had was whether or not you had to have sales tax, you know, on the state level with regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to expand on the state side of things. Say, okay, well, we know it's not going to be income taxed, but how can we get our money? Well, maybe we can sales, you know, use sales tax to
room
get
tax.
Some. Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Right.
So use the sales tax to be able to recoup some money on the state level. But yeah, as far as the federal level goes, still got that exemption where if you rent your residence out for less than 14 days in the calendar
mm-hmm.
year, free money, income tax free money.
Well, that's why again, people use it when communities have big events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like Big Rock down here, you know, people rent out their place for somebody to come
that's
down
right.
fishing to Big Rock.
Yeah.
And here for just under 2 weeks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My friend in Charlotte, who was actually mm-hmm. a law school buddy of mine, he texted me last year because he rented his house out during the PGA Championship.
Yeah.
It was at Quail Hollow.
Yeah, Quail Hollow.
And he said, "Hey, does this sound right?" You know, like I'm like, "Yeah, that's exactly right."
Yeah.
You know, rent your house out. Put the money in your pocket and don't report it.
You learn all this stuff here, right, on Life and Taxes with Harvell and Collins. And Andrew Foster is available at afoster@harvellandcollins.com. And you can call for an appointment, too, at 252-726-9050. And thanks for joining us for Life and Taxes. We'll do it again next week.